Okay, now let's think a little bit about this story. If you've got it open in front of you, page 1053. We need to see why it was that Jesus told this parable. We're actually told at the beginning in verse 11 there. Can anyone remember or see from verse 11 why it was that Jesus told this parable? Yes. Exactly. They thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. You see, in the first part of the Bible, what we call the Old Testament, it spoke about a time when God's future king would arrive and he would bring in a perfect kingdom and everything would be put right. So here are people who are thinking, well, this is about to happen. It's just around the corner. And why might they have been thinking that? What is there in verse 11 that would make them maybe think like that? Think that the kingdom was about to arrive. Yes? They were arriving in Jerusalem, that's right. And Jerusalem was the capital city, wasn't it? That's where kings are made. In about 6 weeks' time, it'll be the coronation of King Charles, and that will happen in our capital city. So here are people who are thinking, well, maybe Jesus is the king that God had promised to send. He is the Messiah, and we're heading to Jerusalem, so this must be it. Jesus is going to be made king, and the kingdom will arrive, and maybe those nasty Romans will be kicked out as well. So Jesus knows that's how they're thinking, and so he tells this parable. And we read at the start, didn't we? A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So who is that? Who does that represent? Who is that man of noble birth? I've got one hand here. Yeah, well, yes, I never know, George or Thomas. Jesus, that's right. He's the one who's going to be appointed king. Yeah, and where, so Jesus has brought himself into his own story, hasn't he? His story is now about Jesus. And where is this man going to go to be appointed king? What were we told? Where's he? Yes, Jakey. Well, thank you, Theo. Thank you very much. They're near Jerusalem, but in the story, where were we told that the king was going to go to be made king? Yes. A far off country, that's right. He's going to go on a long journey. So it's not going to happen just now. It's not just around the corner. Okay? That's how they were thinking. So Jesus tells this story to correct the way they were thinking. They thought that God's kingdom was going to come at once. Jesus says, no. It'll only be after I've gone to a distant country. Okay? So Jesus is saying that he's going to be leaving them. He's going to be leaving this world altogether through his death and resurrection. And then he'll go to heaven. And that's where he will be appointed king. That will be his coronation, as it were. And what will Jesus do after that? After he's been made king? Yes, he'll come back. That's right. That's what verse 12 said, didn't it? He will return from heaven. And only then will God's kingdom arrive. Only then will God's perfect kingdom begin. So it hasn't happened yet. Jesus has not yet returned. We're still waiting for God's kingdom to arrive. We know that, don't we? Because this is not a perfect world. It's a world that is messed up with war and greed and shame. God's perfect kingdom has not yet arrived. Okay, so the mistake of these people was to think it was happening at once, just around the corner. But I'm not sure that's the mistake that we're likely to make. Did anyone wake up this morning and think, Jesus is coming today? God's perfect kingdom is about to arrive? Well, I know I didn't. Our mistake is more likely not expecting it at all. I mean, it hasn't happened for 2,000 years, so maybe it's never going to happen. You need to decide. You need to decide if you're going to believe the words of Jesus. This parable says he is going to return. He tells these people it's not going to happen immediately. There will be a delay, but he is returning. Now, he's already done the going away bit, hasn't he? Through his death and resurrection. So I think it makes sense to believe the rest, that he will return. Now, the rest of this parable is about that waiting time, waiting for the king to return and what we should do. So it's bang up to date, isn't it, this parable? Because we're still in that waiting time. Jesus hasn't yet returned, so we find ourselves in this story. This parable actually stretches 2,000 years and more. Well, let's pause there. We're going to sing a song that reminds us that we need God's forgiveness if we're going to be ready for Jesus' return. And we'll come back to the rest of the story in a moment. So, page 1053, and we've seen, haven't we, that this story is about the waiting time. The time when we're waiting for the King who is returning. Jesus, the returning King. And what did this future King give to each of his servants? Jakey, what did you give to each of your servants? You gave a gold coin, didn't you? Okay, and what did he say to each of those servants when he gave a gold coin? Yes, Jacob? That's right. Put this money to work until I come back. So he gives each of them some money and tells them to make more money whilst he's away. Who are they making money for? Who are they making money for? Yeah? The king, that's right. They're not making money for themselves, are they? They are servants of the king. It's his money that they have been given. And while he's away, they're to be serving him. They're not making money for themselves. They're asked to serve the king whilst he's away. So here is Jesus giving us the opportunity to serve him with what he has given to us, our lives. Isn't that special? Here is the chance to live for something that matters. Now, I don't think we think about it much until we're teenagers. And then we suddenly start to think, well, what's it all about? What is life really all about? Sadly, lots of people have no real purpose. There are lots of things that they do, but no real reason for doing them. Nothing bigger than the next weekend or the next holiday. That's a bit like playing a game of football without any goalposts. You might dribble the ball, you might do some great passes, you might even enjoy the game a little bit. But what's the point of it all if there are no goals to score? If you can't beat a team 7-0? Lots of people enjoy life well enough, but dig below the surface and what's it all about? Well, this parable says that history is going somewhere. It says King Jesus is returning, and we are invited to serve the King. We're invited to a reason for living, a future to look forward to know that what we do now really matters. Let's see how Jesus says people respond to that invitation. What was the first reaction that we were told about? It was in verse 14. What was the first reaction to this news that this man was going to be appointed king? Yes, Jacob. That's right. They ran after him, didn't they? And said, we don't want this man to be our king. So here are people who say, we don't want Jesus to be our king. We don't want him interfering in our lives. And at the end, we're told that the king had them put to death. So here's a big warning in this story from Jesus about those who say, we don't want Jesus to be our king. It'll be bad news for them when he returns. Well, let's move on. When the king returns, he sends for his servant, Dundee, and asks them, what have they done with the money that he had given to them? And what had the first servant done? Yes? He'd made 10 coins more, hadn't he? He'd been given one, and he'd made 10 more. And what did the king say to him? What did the king say to him? Yes, Thomas or George? That's right. Well done, my good servant. Take charge of 10 cities. Well done. That's right. And the second servant was much the same. He'd earned 5 coins and he was put in charge of 5 cities. So here is Jesus saying that serving him has huge benefits. It has eternal value. This means that we can spend our lives serving King Jesus, joining in the mission of Jesus, using the gifts he's given to honor King Jesus, and know that it won't be wasted. We spend our lives serving King Jesus, then when he returns, there will be wonderful words waiting for us. Well done, my good servant. Well done. And let me say, there is no better thing to do in life. You might not be Prime Minister. You might never be a Premier League football player. You might not be a rock star. But you can be a servant of the King of Kings. So there's a second response. Gladly serving King Jesus while we wait for him to return. And then there was another response, wasn't there, to Jesus' invitation? What did the third servant say? Yes, Jacob. Verse 20, I think. Yeah. Okay, great. That's enough. Thank you. He'd kept it in a piece of cloth, hadn't he? Okay, he kept it hidden away. So how many coins, how much money had this servant made for the king? Yes. Sorry? 0. Yes, that's right. Nothing. He'd made nothing for the king. Now, he might not have been lazy. He might have been very busy doing things for himself, but he'd done nothing to serve the king. Did you notice how the king describes this servant? There in verse 22. How does he describe this servant? Yes, Isaac. Yes, that's right. You wicked servant. That's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? Now, I don't think when we talk about somebody wicked, we think, oh, he must have murdered somebody, or be a drug dealer. Nothing like that. This was just a servant who hadn't served the king. His excuse was a sham, because if he really did think that the king was a harsh man, he would have done something about it. Jesus isn't agreeing with him when he says that. He's just showing how feeble his excuse was. He was a servant in name only. So even what he had would be taken away when King Jesus returns. So there are two ways to reject King Jesus. One, to shake your fist in his face, as it were, and say, we don't want this man to be king. But there's also those who simply fail to serve him. It's not that they don't believe, but they live for themselves rather than serving King Jesus. So let me ask you, what is your response going to be? Which group are you in this morning? The king is returning. Which words will you hear? Which words will he say to you when he returns? As we sit, let's have a prayer together. Let's pray. Dear God, we've heard from the lips of Jesus this morning that he is the returning king. Please help each of us to be thinking carefully about that. Where we're not sure, would you please show us the truth? And where we know that Jesus is the returning king, then please help us to serve him gladly, rejoicing that we can live for something that really does matter. In Jesus' name, amen.